All right, we're going to start back with our study of predestination. We were just in Luke 14, and we looked at verse 27, 26 and 27. I want us to drop on down to verse 33, where Jesus says, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So the pattern that I'm seeing, and then I want us to go over to 1 John 2. The pattern that I'm seeing is about, and several of us were talking at break, it's about relationship with Jesus. Is Jesus really first in my life? And in what areas is he not first? Because I'm still in progress. How about you? A work in progress, we say it. I want the things of the Lord, but how much do I want them? Because my growth and development and conformity to his image has everything to do with my willingness to be conformed, doesn't it? How quickly I mature doesn't have so much to do with age, although experiences in the Lord do grow us and increase our faith, but it has more to do with my heart. How ripe is my soil? How desirous am I of the things of the Lord versus the things of the world? And even in that, it may not be some blatant sin. Just the things, the demands, the things, the necessities of the world, the things that distract us and take us away from the Lord. How much of that do I still have working in me and working against my relationship with Jesus? These are things that we have to think about. And you know, the Lord is so faithful to help us think about those things because he talks to us all the time by his Spirit. And just when I'm about to go in the wrong direction with a thing, he starts talking to me. His Word talks to me. His Spirit talks to me. He can use the words of a song, like what we were just talking about earlier in the session, just the song Forgiveness. I mean, the words that come to me from the Lord can come from any number of sources. But he's the true, he's the capital S, he's the capital source, because I know that he's going to give me his word in time. He sees ahead of me, and he makes provision. We know who the source of life is, and he said, I'm the way. Follow me. He would not invite us to do that if it were not possible. He would not say, come be my disciple, if we were not capable of doing that as born-again believers by the Holy Spirit. And we are, and we can, and it's our destiny. So we're on a journey into deeper and deeper and deeper relationship, allowing Jesus to become the true supreme and authority in our life, which will conform us to his image. Okay? In 1 John 2:15, we read these words. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Is that automatic? Do we automatically disconnect from the things of the world the moment we're born again? No. And most of us have been in the world for, you know, maybe 20 years or so before we really truthfully came to the Lord. I don't mean we hadn't been in church. I mean before we ask Jesus to come into our hearts and be our personal Savior and to have a relationship with us and to be our supreme in authority. This conformity takes time. It is a process. And how I move through that process is determined by my willingness to conform. Okay? There's another song that we sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. That's the only way that it happens, because the world promotes itself. It throws itself in your face on a daily basis, one form or another. But if I'm looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher, the developer and the completer of my faith, then the things of the world are losing their hold on me, and I'm getting a hold, a better and better hold on Jesus. Okay? It's a process. So, when were we predestined? We, the believers, were predestined before the foundation of the world. This was God's plan. He had it in place before we were ever born, before first man, Adam, was ever created. God already had the plan of redemption in place. Let's look at Ephesians 1:4. Which says, just as He, Father God, chose us in Him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. So when were we chosen? We were chosen in Jesus before the foundation of the world. So we were predestined before any of it was founded. Now, through foreknowledge, God knew that man would fall and need a Redeemer, need a Savior. He'd already seen the end from the beginning. So He knew what was going to happen. And before man was created, God predetermined redemption through Jesus. Although redemption for man was predetermined by God, not all men accept and enjoy the benefits of redemption. Just because God predetermined the Redeemer for our sins doesn't mean that every one of us will be redeemed. We have the potential to be, but we must receive the Redeemer. It's not an automatic thing. If we don't accept Jesus, there is no Redeemer. And if we don't know Jesus, we don't come into all of His benefits because we don't know what they are. Everyone is given the opportunity to accept or reject redemption. No one is predestined to be eternally separated from God. Separation from God is determined by man, not God. Think about it just a minute. If it didn't matter what I did, if I didn't have an option of whether I choose Jesus or not, why would we need a gospel? Why would Jesus have given us the mission to go into the world and preach His gospel if it doesn't matter whether a person believes it or not? If you're already predetermined as separated from God, what good is it going to do you to hear the gospel? And if you're already predetermined as accepted in God, why do you need a gospel? But Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, that men may be saved. The Savior is here. He was predetermined by the Father. Whether we receive Him or not is still our choice. And God doesn't make that choice for us. He offers. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But then it goes on to say that whosoever believes in Him might not perish, but have everlasting life. But what about the whosoevers who don't believe in him? Then they do perish, and they don't have everlasting life. Does that mean God chose that for them, or they chose it for themselves? It means that they chose it for themselves. Okay? God sent Jesus into the world for the whosoevers. That's everybody. God knew beforehand who would accept Jesus. So how are we predestined? God knows ahead of time who will and who won't. Now, that's an interesting thing because, you know, somebody can come up with questions. You can always ask yourself, well, what about somebody who lives way out in some remote village in Africa and never has an opportunity to hear the gospel? Well, I've heard of people who live in remote areas of Africa who do have an opportunity to hear the gospel. And I've heard of someone who lives within, you know, 100 yards of a church that preaches the gospel every Sunday that never bothers to go hear the gospel. So you cannot figure things out, naturally speaking. If God knows who's going to receive Jesus before it happens because of his foreknowledge, then it's on the receiving end or the refusing to receive end that our decisions are made. God has already given the Redeemer. Okay? God has already given the gospel. And he knows who's going to receive it. So I believe that he makes a way for those who are of a willing heart. They're going to hear. God knows. I can't explain this. How does God give us a will and not tamper with it and yet know what we're going to choose? Because he's God. He knows it all. He knows everything. But he doesn't make our choices for us, and he doesn't tamper with our will, even though he can announce our destiny. He knows the choices we're going to make. The foreknowledge of God announced our destiny. Let's look at 1 Peter 1:2. I remember one time we were down in the woods having one of our talks, one of our serious talks. One of my brothers, Pete, was with me, and some of the other neighborhood kids, and we were talking deep stuff, like, how do we know there is a God? Just because Mom and Daddy take us to Sunday school and they tell us, how do we know? So we came back toward the house, and Mama was standing at the clothesline, and I asked her, I said, well, let's ask Mama, she'll know. I said, Mama, how do we know that there really is a God? And she said, well, that's where your faith comes in. And I thought about that over the years. I don't know how God knows everything. I don't know who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. I don't know how he works it out so that everybody has an opportunity to hear. When some of us are born in places on the planet that you think nobody would ever get to. But that's where your faith comes in. He's God. Is he just or unjust? He's just. Is he righteous or is he unrighteous? He's righteous. Is he faithful or is he not faithful? Unfaithful. God is faithful. And we can rest in that. I can't figure it all out, but I don't have to. I'm not God. Who knows the heart of a man but the spirit of the man? Who knows what's going on inside of anybody's heart right now? People can fool us. They could even fool themselves. It's called self-deception. Okay? But God knows what's going on in a heart. He knows the truth, and he's the only one who can show it to us by his Spirit. And then when he does show us the truth about ourselves, then we have a decision to make, don't we? Does he force us to make it? Does he force us to be conformed to his image? No, we can say the right stuff and even go through the motions of doing the right things. And we can fool a lot of people doing that. And call ourselves Christians all we want to and learn to speak the language. But God knows our hearts, doesn't he? And sometimes it's those least likely candidates that step up and surprise us, because they're more like Jesus than anybody you've ever met. God knows their hearts too, and He's not moved by the outside. First Peter 1:2. Says, I better get Peter instead of James. I'm going to back up just a little bit. To the pilgrims, and then to elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Is God a respecter of persons? No. Scriptures clearly teach us that He's not. So, how are they the elect? Because He singled them out special? No. Because He knew in His foreknowledge. They are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit, or being set apart by the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's His greeting to the believers. So God already knows. He knows beforehand who will accept Jesus, and therefore He can announce our destiny. What is predetermined for us as believers? God predetermined that all believers should become, and that key word there is become, because that's a process, like Jesus. And God predetermined that we should be adopted into His family and become His children. Now, we just read this. It's in Ephesians 1:5, and we just read that along with Ephesians 1:4. Predetermined to be part of God's family. It's one thing to be the creation of God. God created all, everything. But it's another thing to be a child of God. God has made us, but He wants us to choose Him as our God. Does that make sense? He's our Creator, but He wants His creation to choose Him back. Okay? It's one thing to be part of God's handiwork. It's another thing to be part of God's family. Now let's look at our summary. The Bible does teach predestination, but not in the way most people think of predestination and believe it to be. It's not like I don't have any choice in the matter. It doesn't matter what I do or what I say. You know, God's going to do, I'm just a puppet on a string. I'm just a pawn on God's big chessboard, and He's going to move me about wherever He wants to, and in the end, He's going to do with me whatever He wants to. It doesn't work that way at all. That's not predestination. Predestination is a predetermined purpose and journey for our life into conforming into the image of Jesus Christ for those of us who believe. Predestination is not the same thing as foreknowledge. God knows everything, but He doesn't make us do what He wants us to do. He lets us choose His way or reject His way. God, through His foreknowledge, can accurately predict our destiny without tampering with our will. Why? Because He's already seen what we're going to do. He sees the end from the beginning. He already knows what we're going to choose, so He can speak it. We, the believers, are predestined to become like Jesus. And we, the believers, are predestined to become God's adopted children. That is our destiny, if we'll choose it. Do we understand that? That's what God wants for us. Now, do we want what God wants? And in conclusion, the teaching of unconditional predestination is contrary to the biblical teaching of predestination. Unconditional predestination means it doesn't matter what I do. I'm going to end up where God wants me to. That's unconditional. Biblical predestination is that God has laid out a plan through Jesus Christ, who says, I am the truth. I am the life. I am the way. Come follow me and be conformed to my image. That is what we're predestined as believers to do in Jesus Christ if we'll receive Him. That's our destiny that God has for us if we will accept it. One who fully believes in unconditional predestination has no hope of salvation for the sinner. It doesn't matter what that person does, he's doomed. And that simply is not the truth. God created man with a free will. This freedom is made obvious in Genesis chapter 3. This is where man chose to disobey God after God told him, this is how you'll live, but in the day that you do this, you'll die. And God chose to rebel and... Man chose to rebel against God, thank you, and disobey unto death. He didn't physically die immediately, but he spiritually died. Man chose against God. How did he do that? He has a will to do it. Does God have a will? Yes. He's written it down for us, the old and the new covenants, right? That's his will. Did Jesus have a will? Yes. Think about the Garden of Gethsemane. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. There was an alignment right there. I'm conforming my will to your will. I'd rather not drink this cup called crucifixion. Who would want that? Nevertheless, if this cup can't pass for me, if we cannot accomplish my purpose any other way but this, then I'm conforming my will to yours. Was that an easy thing for Jesus to do? It says he agonized in the garden and his sweat became like drops of blood. So that must have been the hardest decision that he ever had to make. I don't see him sweating like drops of blood anywhere else, in anything else that he had to do. But he conformed his will right there to the will of the Father. And that's really where he won that victory. And then he was able to go ahead and walk out what he had already determined in his heart to do and bear that cross for the joy that was set before him, we're told. Okay? So God did make us with a free will. Don't you think that if God were ever going to superimpose his will over the will of man, when he knew man was about to mess it up, not just for himself, but for generations of people, bring sin into the world that would cause all kinds of hardships. If God were ever going to superimpose, no, you're not going to choose that, Adam. I'm going to make you choose right so that this mess doesn't get started in the earth. That's where he would have done it. Because that was the beginning of all of the missing of the mark. All of it. But God didn't superimpose his will, did he? So that right there should show us that we have a choice to make. And God is going to let us make it. He will not force himself upon us and force us to choose him. But he wants us to. He says in the book of Deuteronomy, I set before you life and death. Choose life that you may live. God tells us, choose me. Choose life. Accept the Redeemer. But he doesn't make us do it. God Almighty is omniscient, which means that he is all-knowing. He knows everything. But our all-knowing God can announce events before they take place because he already knows what they're going to be. So we mustn't confuse his foreknowledge with unconditional predestination. Okay? God doesn't predestine men and women to heaven or hell. Men and women choose their destiny. God does have the ability to know which choice men and women will make. Scriptural predestination is what God has predetermined for those who accept Jesus. And all who accept Jesus are destined to become like Him. It's our destiny. We have a mandate from God to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why would God give men a mandate to preach the gospel if it couldn't affect the outcome of an individual's life? That would be unjust. Preach them the gospel, convince them and persuade them to believe it, but it's not going to make any difference in their eternal destiny. That couldn't be God, could it? No, He says, if they'll believe, then they'll live forever with Me. We call it eternal life. Always with God, never separated from Him again. We must not succumb to any teaching that minimizes the necessity of fulfilling God's mandate, the mandate to preach the gospel. The fields are white, they're ready for harvest. Let's not miss our opportunity. Because those who hear and obey the gospel will be saved. Hear and obey. Okay? Those who reject the gospel will be eternally separated from God or condemned. Or as King James says it, damned. Okay? That means separated from God, condemned to separation from God. So in thinking about the application of this message to our life, which is what I like to do before we leave a study, what is it that we need to understand about predestination? I believe it's twofold. First of all, I think personally, for me, I need to come to the realization that God wants me to be like Jesus in the earth. It's my destiny. He wants me to be able to think. I was thinking about this morning. God says His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But He doesn't leave it there. He said so. He sent His Word. So when I study the Word, I can begin to think like Jesus did, because I see how He thinks. Okay? His ways are higher than my ways, naturally. But I have access to His ways by knowing Him. So we can think like Jesus. We can speak like Jesus, who always spoke in line with the Word of God. And we don't realize how much of that we don't do. We don't realize how much of our conversation is not aligned with the way Jesus talks. He doesn't talk bad about Himself. It says He knew who He was. He knew who He came from. He knew who sent Him. He knew where He was going. He was confident in who He was. And He didn't talk about other people either, did He? And so much of our conversation isn't aligned with the kind of conversation that Jesus had with people. But we can talk like Jesus by putting the Word in our hearts, because out of the abundance of the heart, what's going to happen? Our mouth is going to speak whatever is in here in abundance. So we can think like Jesus. We can talk like Jesus. We can treat people like Jesus. Is not that not what the whole beginning of Matthew 5 and 6 and 7, all in that we call the Beatitudes? Isn't that what that was about when Jesus, we call it the Sermon on the Mount? What was that sermon about? how to treat other people. So we can be conformed to His image. That's what it means to me personally, to be predestined to be conformed to His image. That means I have choices to make. But past that, what's my purpose? Once I'm being conformed to the image of Jesus, is it not to do everything the Holy Spirit prompts me to do? In seeing that others are hearing the gospel and coming to Jesus, and I'm helping them along their way in any way that I can, so that they will understand that it's their destiny likewise as believers to be conformed to the image of Jesus. My life is in Jesus as a believer. Your life is in Jesus. And while we are in the earth, we have an opportunity to bring others along with us into that intimate relationship that we enjoy with Him. We're good to go, so to speak. We have an eternity with Jesus that's already begun. We know that. We fellowship with Him all the time, don't we? On a daily basis, we have fellowship and enjoy the relationship that we have with Jesus. But not everybody has that yet. So while there's time, and while we're still here, let us seize every opportunity that we have to, first of all, walk Him. Not just talk Him, but walk Him. So that others will know we live with Jesus. You know, He is our life. And then share Him in whatever way people are able to receive Him. And that's different ways for different people. That's why we're here. Otherwise, why would He pray to leave us on the planet? Which is what He prayed in John 17. Father, I don't pray that You take them out of the world. Why wouldn't He? If we're already His and we're going to be with Him for eternity, why not get started now? Well, we already did, because our eternity has begun. But we weren't put here for ourselves. Now think about this. If God already knew me, what did He tell Jeremiah? Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, I knew you. I called you to be a prophet. If God already knew me before I was conceived in my mother's womb, and He already knew that there would come a day in my 20s when I would truly cry out to the Lord to save my soul and to be my Lord and Savior, if He already knew I was going to do that and return to Him and be in His presence eternally because of that choice that I would make, then why would He send me? Why send me into earth when I'm just going to come right back and be with You forever anyway? Could it be that He needed you here and me here for somebody besides ourselves? I think that's exactly what it could be. Could it be that He knew that in this time and in this season, He could put a purpose on the inside of us that would propel us toward other people who likewise needed to hear the gospel and would accept the gospel? That's why we're here. We're not here for ourselves. It wasn't about me when I was born. It wasn't about you when you were born. It was about somebody else. Now that's an exciting thought to me. Because God put us here for others. That's why Jesus gave the commission that He did. Go preach the gospel. So He sent us, didn't He, for such a time as this. Well, let's go and be conformed to the image of Jesus as we're going, so that others will believe this gospel is true and have hope. Folks, the world's getting dark. And people need the light. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. But then when he was getting ready to leave, he said, you are the light of the world. So let us shine. Amen. We're predestined to shine just like Jesus. Oh, that you would bless us indeed.